The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hello and welcome to this Right Stand podcast. I'm Anand Narasimhan. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of doubts. There are a lot of misnomers and false information which is doing the rounds around the Citizenship Amendment Act and of course the National Registry of Citizens. There is a lot of fear-mongering, but what is sad is to see these visuals of violence, of stone pelting. The example today of peaceful protest, which is a right for everybody in democracy, is what happened at the Jama Masjid. After the Friday prayers, there was chanting of Hindustan Zindabad under the tricolour with Baba Saheb Bhimrao Ambedkar and Mahatma Gandhi's portraits. There were those who were criticising the current government and they were demanding a recall or a rollback of the Citizenship Amendment Act and of course saying don't get into the NRC process. Now this entire movement has now taken a political turn, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you protest, not like how we saw in Ahmedabad, where a woman police officer who slipped and fell was beaten black and blue and stoned. There were four police officers who were cornered. They were being literally lynched and being pelted with stones like you would see in the medieval ages in the Arabic world. That's the treatment that was being meted out by a rabid mob that went violent and decided that they will take matters into their own hands. But amidst these mobsters, amidst these rabid, violent, lumpen elements, also stood out those who came out and said that our job is to protest, not to pillage, not to plunder, not to hurt people. And they stood guard as a human shield against the very mob that they were part of or the protest they were part of to shield these police officers and take them to safety. Those are the heroes I would like to salute. That is the attitude we'd like to see. We can have differences. We can have separate opinions. But resorting to violence, plundering public property, damaging property which is for our benefit, and which has been created, and these amenities have been created out of taxpayers' money, to damage that, to pelt police personnel. They are, after all, doing their own jobs. They are doing their duty. Why pelt them? Why beat them? The sad part is, all those champions of human rights, all those people who come out and try and go berserk when stray instances happen on the streets of our country, issues of law and order, and they turn it into a communal one, kept quiet when police personnel were being beaten up. All those who stood up, and rightly so, against police excesses inside a campus in the national capital, kept quiet when the police were made the target. Why this selective silence and this selective outrage? Outrage against all forms of lawlessness, outrage against all forms of violence, outrage against all that you believe is wrong. Now, tonight on the podcast, and we will stay with this very story, the CAA showdown, three or four issues or aspects stand out. One, the fact that most of these protests and them turning violent are in BJP-ruled states, clearly pointing to the fact that is it opposition-driven and fueled by the opposition? Secondly, the exception to that is Delhi, which is going to polls sometime in January or early Feb. So the question that needs to be asked is, is there a greater machination and is it the politics that has now taken over? All this, is it to try and create a sense of fear amongst a community and amongst a collective which is also a vote bank, which is being deliberately targeted? Why this fear-mongering in our country? Ladies and gentlemen, the Citizenship Amendment Act 2019 provides for acquisition, determination and termination of Indian citizenship. The citizenship of India can be acquired by birth, by descent, by registration or by naturalization or by incorporation of a territory. Any foreigner on becoming eligible can acquire citizenship by registration or by naturalization irrespective of his country or their community. The Citizenship Amendment Act 2019 enables migrants/foreigners of six minority communities from three specified countries who have come to India because of persecution on grounds of their religion to apply for Indian citizenship. It does not amend any legal existing legal provision which enables any foreigner of any class, creed, religion, category, etc. to apply for Indian citizenship through registration or naturalization modes. Such a foreigner has to become eligible to apply for citizenship after fulfilling the minimum legal requirements. The Citizenship Amendment Act does not apply to Indian citizens. They are completely unaffected by it. it seeks to grant Indian citizenship to particular foreigners who have suffered persecution on grounds of their religion in three neighboring countries. This, in a nutshell, is the whole heart or the crux of the Citizenship Amendment Act. So it does not have to do with any Indian citizen. Now, let's address a few questions which are doing the rounds and the misnomers around it. Mainly not around the Citizenship Amendment Act, because aapki citizenship koi nahi chhin raha. It is about giving citizenship to some people. And it is not people who will come in now. It is people who have been here on or before the 31st December 2014, ladies and gentlemen. The Modi Sarkar came to power in May 2014. So how is it that they can set a date? And is it, and how can anybody blame them for wanting to deliberately allow minorities from Pakistan, Afghanistan and Bangladesh now? These are people who have fled Pakistan, Bangladesh or Afghanistan and have come to India even before, majority of them, even before Narendra Modi and the NDA came back into power. And Narendra Modi became Prime Minister. Why is this lost? The very opposition which advocated for this in the past are now standing out on the streets, turning out on the streets and asking people, goading people into violence to try and oppose it. Manmohan Singh stood up and spoke about this in Parliament. Prakash Karat and the left wrote about this in 2012, advocating it for Bangladeshi Hindus. This entire thing of trying to play the game on the and the communal angle against the current disposition seems to be politically motivated when we look at the facts. Now, let's clear the air and of course some of the myths and lies around the CAA plus the NRC. Do Indian Muslims need to worry about CAA plus NRC? No Indian citizen of any religion needs to worry either about CAA or NRC. Second question, will people be excluded in NRC on religious grounds? No, the National Registry of Citizens is not about religion at all. NRC, as and when conducted, they've not yet decided when to do it, shall not be and cannot be on religious grounds. No one can be excluded for being a follower of any religion. How is citizenship decided? Will it be in the hands of the government? The citizenship will be decided as per the citizenship rules 2009, framed under UPA 2, as framed under the Citizenship Act 1955. They are in public domain. There are five ways in which a person can become an Indian citizen: citizenship by birth, citizenship by descent, citizenship by registration, citizenship by naturalization, or citizenship by incorporation of a territory. When NRC comes, next question, when NRC comes, will I have to provide details of birth to birth of parents, etc. to prove my Indian citizenship? Baap dadaon ka record nikalna padega kya? Details of your birth, like date, month and year and place of birth are enough. If not available, you may have to provide such details of birth of parents. But no documents will be required to be compulsorily submitted with respect to parents. Citizenship can be proved by submitting any documents relating to date and place of birth. Details of such admissible documents are yet to be decided, but they may and most likely will include voter card, passport, Aadhaar, license, insurance papers, birth certificate, school leaving certificate, land or house papers, or any other documents which has been issued by public authorities. In anything, if your date and place of birth is mentioned, that's all you need to provide. There is no harassment. When NRC comes, do I have to prove ancestry dating back before 1971? No. You don't have to prove any ancestry by presenting any document like ID cards or birth certificates of parents, ancestors dating back to 1971 or before 1971. That was only for the Assam National Registry of Citizens because it is based on the Assam Accord, which again was not signed by this government at all, ladies and gentlemen, and implemented on the directions of the Honorable Supreme Court. The court, the top court of this country ordered that. But when we have nationwide NRC, that procedure, the fact that you have to produce any I card of your parents before 1971, that clause does not apply at all. No illiterate, woman, Dalit, atheist, transgender, none of them will be troubled. If you are an illiterate or if you don't have relevant documents, then you will be allowed to bring witnesses, various other proof, community verification. You can bring your neighbor and that person can vouch via legal affidavit. Due procedure will be followed. No Indian citizen will be put into undue trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to inform ourselves, we need to equip ourselves, and we need to dispel fear-mongering and allay fears of every Indian citizen. There is no singling out that is happening. This is being done, looks on the face of it, because of a larger, greater political game and mischief that is afoot. I'll see you tonight on The Right Stand.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.